Welcome to the Bifocal Podcast with John White and Jason Himmelstein, where we talk about business intelligence and the Microsoft stack with news, interviews, and expert opinions from around the space.
This is episode 120, recorded on October 2nd, 2019, where John and Jason talk about the Microsoft Ignite Schedule Builder and a whole bunch of news from the last month.
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, John. How are you today, sir?
I'm all sorts of good.
I'm glad to hear
back
that.
Back from Europe, well-rested. Actually, I wouldn't say I'm well-rested. That was a fairly hectic trip, but it's all good right now. And ready for more, getting ready for a SharePoint Saturday on the weekend and doing all kinds of interesting things with Power BI this week. So it's fun.
Yeah, man. We're going to talk all about that because you're making news. You're getting tweeted. There's some good stuff that you're doing that we're going to talk about here in detail, but I just got back from 2 days of religious time with family. It was Rosh Hashanah. I took the time off, did not get computerized at all. It was very nice just to be away. 5780. It's pretty glorious, John. Nice to have a fresh new year. It's fall, and yeah, the Jewish New Year is every fall.
Got it.
Even though here in Texas, it's still bloody hot. It's still wonderful. That's just what it is.
It's cooling down here. Closed the pool on Monday. 2 days ago. So yeah, it's well, that's okay. It's still harvest season. I'm happy.
I'm very, very happy for you, sir.
We need to get to some neglected content, I think. We've had a lot to talk about in the last little while. So we haven't had a chance to catch up on news for a bit.
You know, it's been a while, but you know what? I feel like we've been covering off such great stuff for people that we're not getting complaints. So that's a good thing. We are trying to keep up with tweeting our picks. So, you know, you should see our picks showing up on Twitter more frequently. And we'd love to see your picks as well.
Yes.
So tweet us at our handles and at the show. Let us know, because we monitor both. Let us know what you'd like to see. We've had some user picks come in, but if there's something that you're hot on, that you're out there and you're a listener of the show, just send us a tweet. Use that button on the ideas page and just at the end of it, type at Bifocal Show, and that way we'll see it and be able to go amplify that for you as well. But we have some really good picks today. But first, before we get into all of that, John, I think we got to talk about Ignite again. And it's going to be a topic on every show from here out.
Probably.
The Ignite is coming up. It's around the corner. But right now, the really cool thing is the Ignite Schedule Builder is out. It happened yesterday. And John, more important than the Schedule Builder coming out was the Tigraph sponsored Schedule Builder that is so much more usable, so much more user-friendly, and you know that everybody is tweeting about. Literally, I was away for 2 days. I came back. I've got dozens of messages because you tagged me in it when you put it out there, which thank you for that, sir, because, hey, it's great to see. But the Tigraph Microsoft Ignite Session Builder, I know that's not the official name of the thing, but the Tigraph logo is right there, which, by the way, by the time this
It'll be clickable. Yes.
So if you want to go over to that, and you can also find us on the About page by the time this actually gets posted. But all of the nice and easy way to go off and actually search this stuff, because the Ignite Schedule Builder itself is kind of slower.
Well, it's designed for signing up for the sessions, right?
It is. It is so much better. I have to give kudos to the team that built this thing, because yeah. I will tell you, for the first 2 years of Ignite and for the last 3 years of TechEd, the signup experience for sessions was atrocious.
Oh, yeah.
It was just awful. I think the thing was built in stuff before Silverlight, you know? I don't know what that was.
ASP.NET 1.0.
I don't know. I just called it rock. It was just that old and slow. And now it's much better. However, because you're able to go off and connect up to this endpoint, you've built this beautiful dashboard, and excuse me, John, I'm using the wrong terminology. These are reports.
Yes. Technically.
You've built these reports, which give us the ability to go in and filter, search by day, yeah. Start time. And because of the way that Ignite is, because of the fact that there are 45-minute sessions, 60-minute sessions, 20-minute sessions, 8-minute sessions. I think there's an 8-minute ab session somewhere in there. If you go hunt for it, I think it's an Easter egg. There's probably an 8-minute ab session.
I got to go look for that. I haven't noticed it.
There's just so many different styles of session. It's really hard to find what you're looking for. And you have made it approachable and easier. So if you're listening to this and you haven't gone out there, we're going to put the link in the show notes. Go out to the blog site and you can go click on it. But yeah, it's really great stuff. John, kudos to you again for all your hard work on this.
Done it for a couple of years now. And as Power BI gets better, you can implement more features. And all the schedule builder itself, the data that's coming in, one thing that's new this year, related sessions. When you drill down on a specific session, you'll be able to bounce around to other sessions. But the whole idea is to give you an all-up view of everything that's there, which isn't something that's something that's designed for doing signups. Oh, it's something that will come. It's not there in the API yet. Things like speakers, Twitter handles, things like the sign-up page for any given session. So you could be within the schedule builder and click and then go sign up for that session if you haven't already. So yeah, it's fun.
You'll have to be authenticated actual session builder site, obviously. But you know, side-by-side windows, you know, you'll be able to do this. That's pretty cool.
Once you've signed in, you got a cookie, you'll be able to click on the links and it'll work, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, John. Anyway, I think that's really great stuff. That was the big news for me when I came back was Session Builder's open. The tyGraph Microsoft Ignite Schedule Builder is, Session Browser, it's not Schedule Builder, is out there now. But we have other news here that we want to cover off. And we've talked about it a couple of times on the show, John. But man, it's getting kind of old now. We're waiting for RC2. So we're not going to go into detail. Folks, go out and read about the analysis services for SQL Server 2019, analysis services and reporting services, RC1 updates that are out there. Do you have anything you really want to dig into on this, John?
Just a couple. On the analysis services side, I mean, whenever Christian posts something, I have to put on my thinking cap, but I just have not had it on long enough to go through that stuff. Although the one big feature that's coming, that will be coming to the fore in analysis services 2019, essentially, is the concept of calculation groups. And calculation groups are going to allow the creation of measures to get under control. Read the actual article if you want the detail on that. But it's going to be a way to manage and kind of make some sense out of control measures in a data model. And of course, because analysis services is what's behind Power BI, this is ultimately going to affect Power BI as well. We'll circle back on that when it comes to the picks as well.
Well, since you had to go into a little bit of detail on analysis services, I'm going to do the flip and do a little bit on reporting services, just because there is some really good stuff inside of here. Chris Finland posted this again. This is from August of 26th, 2019. So inside of the RC1 for reporting services, we're adding support for your database catalog within Azure SQL Managed Instances.
Yep.
And more importantly, in my world, support for Power BI datasets hosted in Power BI Premium.
Boom, boom,
again,
boom.
This is Premium.
Yep.
Using Azure AD application proxy with reporting services. And also there's a new version of Microsoft Report Builder updated for use with SSRS 2019. And in here, it does specifically call out new feature being able to connect up to Power BI Premium, and that it's alongside all of the released and supported versions of Power BI Report Server as of August 26th. Since then, we have had the September release of Power BI Reports, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So the likelihood is that does not have all of the features for Power BI Report Server. So you could have, with RC1, up before September, a release of Power BI Report Server. So if you're not on Power BI Report Server yet, you could use the RC1 SSRS Report Builder in order to be able to create reports, paginated reports for both SRS in SQL Server 2019, RC1, and the Power BI service in premium capacity. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I think we're good on that front. So we've knocked off two already, John, of the pieces of news. This one, then the next one, I believe that Chris Finland had teased a little bit on a show that we did in Seattle.
That's right.
Because it was coming up right after that. This was a new feature Friday, and this has been one of the most asked for things that they've had when it comes to paginated reports in the service.
It might be a bit poorly understood, so it probably warrants talking about it a little bit. With SSRS, we based paginated reports, and it's suffice to say, when we say paginated reports, we're talking about RDL files, classic SSRS type of reports. They've always had parameters support. So you could basically, you could, when you at runtime, when you run the report, you could substitute in a value for a parameter. And that parameter, of course, could be passed back to the query, could be used to filter data in the report, any number of things. But these parameters have always been there. And parameters are not a concept that have been available traditionally in Power BI. In Power BI, like with the analytical reports in Power BI, the PBIX style reports, what we have are filters, just simple report filters. And we've for some time now been able to pass in the value of a report filter on the URL. So that's by taking the report, the URL to the report itself, appending a question mark, and then there's a syntax for basically specifying the name of the filter and then the value of that filter. And that will automatically insert a value in the Power BI filter. Well, up until now, the service, RDL, the paginated reports in the Power BI service have not really supported the parameters very well. A user could run them and then enter the values manually, but there was no way to pass in these values from a URL like it works in the filters in PBIX files. Now you can. That's essentially what it is. So there's a syntax for allowing you to append to a URL that will pass that value into a paginated report parameter. Again, parameters aren't the same as filters, but they can be used as filters.
Yeah. So this blog post was called URL Parameters for Paginated Reports Are Now Available. Two things I'd like to point out here. Number one, there's a prefix parameter that you have to use. So at the end of the URL, you append question mark, and then the report parameter is going to be RP colon, and then you give the report parameter. So you give the parameter, you give the parameter name, and then the actual filter in that report parameter that you want to use. So in the case of the blog post, it was salesperson. So RP colon salesperson equals Mickey. Mickey is actually the name of Paginated Report Bear. So if you go take a look, that's why it's called Mickey. That's his real name. The other thing that's really a value here is because a lot of this is, I want to be able to output this. They're trying to make this work with Flow,
right,
so that we can get these things delivered as PDFs. So if you append at the end of that, ampersand RDL colon, and then format equals whatever format
PDF
you're looking for. And there's documentation links here, but PDF being the most common, right? You could do it to Excel if you want, or Word, because those are both supported parameters as well. But ampersand after the report parameter, RDL colon format equals PDF will actually create the PDF for you. And then you can pass this parameter, this URL string with the parameter and the format of the output into Flow and have it delivered someplace like a SharePoint document library.
Like a SharePoint document library. Yes, that makes...
Brought it back around to SharePoint, folks.
Yeah, well, hey, that's the one missing piece still from that 2015 announcement. Yes, I have a long memory.
You are like an elephant, John.
When the team said, hey, we're going to support the ability to deliver reports into the SharePoint library once they removed actually, that was in 2016, when they removed integrated mode reporting services. Well, you can achieve that through exactly the mechanism you just outlined.
Yes. It takes work, but it is doable. And so that's really great.
This episode of the Bifocal Podcast is sponsored by Tigraph, the award-winning reporting and analytics platform for Office 365. Get the full picture of your Office 365 network by using Tigraph. See how customers leverage its actionable insights to better understand their organization's usage, collaboration, and adoption patterns. Try Tigraph today. Sign up for a free trial at tigraph.com.
Next thing up is Microsoft has made an announcement. There's an October virtual launch event,
yep,
for business applications team. Again, this goes James Phillips' team. So we expect this to be heavy Dynamics, then some on Power BI, and then some on Power Apps and Flow, as well as, I expect, honestly, John, a bunch on AI.
Yeah.
AI Builder is, as we said in the last episode, gets its own section in the wave two. And I think that we're going to see a decent amount because, honestly, they got to make this thing sexier.
Yeah.
So that's the sexy in all of this. So do some AI Builder stuff. So That is October 10th.
The way I understand it, I mean, that document that we went through on the last podcast, right? The Wave 2 release plan. I think it's going to be pretty much revealing that and articulating that in a fair bit of detail. And James Phillips is going to provide the vision for all of that. So it's a big woohoo event. So, yeah.
Did we ruin the virtual event for him, John?
I really don't think we did. I think they did by putting the document out.
Okay, good. Just as long as we don't need James Phillips being mad at us. That'd be bad.
I really would prefer not to have that. That's a yeah.
Sorry, James.
You're assuming
all
he's
right,
listening.
Moving along. Okay. Because we know he's a huge listener of the show. He downloads like 5 times just to help us out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Power BI Dataflow September 2019 feature summary. And this is, we're starting to see this happen more, and I'm a big fan of it. There's a roll-up of all the stuff that they've done in the course of a month that maybe got missed a little bit and buried in other things.
Or just happened.
So we're starting to see it for data flows. We're starting to see that for a port server. So different areas that are less highlighted are now getting their own roll-up feature summary every month, which is really great.
Yeah, and it is very much a roll-up. There's a few things in there. They're fairly high level. One feature that I wasn't aware of was a problem because I'd never tried to do it in the past, but obviously would be a problem is if you created a data flow against on-premises data using a gateway, you had to be an admin on that gateway to be able to use the data flow. So that's a bit of a limitation. So they've removed that. That's a big piece of news. So now non-administrators are able to access that data through the gateway, like frankly, they should have been able to. Another big item in here is enhanced compute engine improvements. I don't know if we've gone on much about the enhanced compute engine in data flows, but essentially, as you know, data flows are really just a data lake. They're files sitting on an Azure Data Lake Gen 2 storage system.
Golly, I'd love it if they had a better name for that.
Fred. That'd be good. It's Fred's got the data.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that'll work. But
change approved.
Yeah. Well, what that means is there's no compute engine to it. And they've added, in a limited way at the moment, they've added a compute engine in behind the scenes. And that is being used whenever you're creating relationships, essentially, right now, when one data flow is relying on another. And that's a premium feature only, obviously. And they've made some changes to it. They've made some stability improvements, some speed improvements. So that's getting better. I'm excited about the enhanced compute engine for down the road when, in theory, I'm thinking we'll be able to have direct query against data flows. That's, I think, for me, the ultimate goal. So it's nice to see them moving ahead on that.
That would be really, really nice. I'd like that a lot.
Yeah. And they put out a best practices guide on the use of data flows, when to use. And that's always good stuff when you're dealing with data. How do I approach this? Because there's, 19 ways to do it, and you don't have to bang your head against the wall 18 ways till you find the one that works best. So.
And one of the really cool things about this, John, is that they put it in GitHub.
Yeah.
The document is, you can contribute to it. Lots of links here. At the top, I always enjoy the fact that it says 3 minutes to read. The sublinks will take you 18 hours, but 3 minutes to read this particular doc. There's a lot of great stuff in here, including a split data flow in connecting to SharePoint. They mentioned the word SharePoint in the data flow's best practices right out of the gate.
Whoa, yeah. Well, anything to deal with SharePoint data and best practices, I'm kind of all over that. So
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing. Hey, look, there's a paginated reports
in Power
BI September 2019 feature update, John.
I know. Chris is all over the blog lately with the feature updates, isn't he?
Yep.
This is the meatier one of the two paginated report announcements in September, basically outlining a bunch of the features that just showed up in the service in September. Do you want to take the comments? I can take the next one.
Yeah. So comments and paginated reports. So you can now add comments to your paginated reports in Power BI, and they stay with the report, which is really nice. This is not Yammer.
Or Teams. Yeah, it's got its own.
This more looks like the Office Docs style comments capability that's there. In fact, it looks exactly like that to me because you can at mention people. It looks like, even though we don't have the full ribbon in Power BI Desktop yet for Office, it looks like they've adopted this particular function, which is part of that Office stack. So it's very familiar to us. It's really nice. And it does, when you at mention someone, it sends them a note and, hey, click over and get in there.
Wouldn't it be nice? And I get why it has to be different because not everybody's going to have all of these other tools. But wouldn't it be nice for a company like, I don't know, like Microsoft that owns a bunch of different tools that you could say, here is my chat method of choice. And then any commenting you do anywhere would use that in internal to your organization. And all your chats would be integrated in one location and your comment.
Blasphemy, John. Oh,
wouldn't
blasphemy.
That be awesome? But of course, first
they'd probably do something like Kazala. So let's not really encourage.
Well, I was going to say, first of all, there'd have to be that one platform that you use for chat. Oh, never mind. Microsoft has a few to choose from, don't they? Yeah.
Just a couple.
Yeah. The next one I think is a pretty big deal is, now we have in with paginated reports secure embed support. So that secure embed feature that we were so excited about when it debuted because it opened up the ability to securely embed Power BI in older versions of SharePoint in classic mode or just on websites now extends to paginated reports. So it's yet another way to surface paginated reports. If you've got an investment in SQL services or SQL Server reporting services, and that's holding you back from moving online, now you've got another way. You don't have a web part yet. You don't have a SharePoint online web part for paginated reports like you would with SSRS, but you could just use something like the script editor web part or an embed web part and securely embed these paginated reports. So yet another tool in the box to get moving.
Feel uncertain about your Power BI success? What are the questions you need to answer to deliver value? Tumble Road can help. They will put you on the road to success with training, advice, and products that get you to value faster, just like they've done for other Fortune 50 customers. Download their free Power BI guide, packed with technical tips and tricks, at tumbleroad.com/success. The next one here is actually news to me.
Yeah, me too. It was news to me, yeah.
I hadn't seen this said anywhere. This only shows up, to my knowledge, here. So this is a feature summary, but this was news in my world. There's an RDL migration tool out there on GitHub to assist customers with moving reports from SQL Server reporting services to Power BI.
Yes.
We've released our summer intern project to the community on GitHub as a part of the migration tool process. They're going to convert any shared data sources and data sets in the reports to be embedded in the report and save these links locally to disk. That's kind of interesting.
I think it's huge. It goes back to what I was just saying about tools that are going to help people migrate from the existing, because it's not the same. Paginated reports in the service is not identical to SSRS on premises. For example, that concept of shared data sets does not exist in the service and will not exist. They've been very, very clear about that. You will be able to use data sets, Power BI data sets, but those are not the same thing. So this is a tool that would help, among other things, convert those shared data sets now into embedded data sets in RDL, which are supported.
Yeah, they're checking for unsupported data sources or report components when uploading into Power BI. They're saving converted files that pass these security checks into the Power BI service and then provide a summary of successful and unsuccessful assets migrated. So it's actually doing that for you. I didn't think they were going to do this, John. Some intern, is what this is suggesting, went off and decided to do this. I want to know the name of that intern.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's something that they usually do. Mr. Finland, give us the name of that intern. Let's make sure they get huge kudos because this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this was coming. So that's really great stuff.
Cool. Moving on to another topic that's near and dear to my personal heart. There's been an update to the template apps. Yay. And it's a big one. Yeah, I know. It's not everybody's. You kind of need to be an ISV to get excited about template apps, but I am. So I got to jump up and down a little bit. Teddy Berkovitz, and he's kind of the point guy on template apps for Microsoft, has this blog post. And the biggie announcement in here is the ability to update your template app in a customer's tenant. So you don't do it, the customer asks for it. But now when a customer signs up for the template app a second time, if it notices that it's already got a version of your app, it will ask you if you just want to update it versus installing yet another new one, which has been the behavior in the past. So that's a big one for me.
The other thing that's really exciting here, John, say goodbye to service content.
Yeah. Not yet, but it's coming. They're basically saying that. And they're quite literally saying that.
I don't know. By the end of September, most service content packs will be deprecated and all Power BI app on AppSource will be template apps. So it's October 2nd today, John. I think this, if you're listening to this after we drop it, They're gone. Consider them gone.
I hope so.
They're not a thing anymore. We could stop using the word content packs.
Yep. I know we
can start using the word apps more. Lots more apps.
Oh, yeah.
Lots more reasons to say the word apps.
Because we don't have enough reasons to say the word app already. Yeah, I'm aware of that
already. So last thing in here, Power BI Report Server, September 2019 feature summary update. You know what, John? Let's hold this one.
Sure.
Let's hold back.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of stuff in here that is worthy of a discussion.
When you look at it, it's everything that's happened in desktop up until now, right?
All right, fine, I guess.
That's really all we need to say, I think.
Did you just ruin it, John?
I'm sorry.
I get excited about Power BI Report Server. It is still something that we see lots of people getting excited about. Now, I think they get excited about it, and then they start to see what is in the service, and now with all of the great stuff that's in the service, starting to trend more that way. Mm-hmm. But I still have a lot of customers who ask for Power BI Report Server. They want to talk about it, and all of the great stuff that we've been seeing is starting to show up here now. So, fine, we'll keep it short. We'll just say, go read the blog post, because it's huge.
Yep.
There's lots of great stuff in here, and it's definitely worth understanding what is now in Power BI Report Server. Because remember, folks, if you have Power BI Report Server that is an on-premises technology, you have to install the update and you need to get your people to install the update for Power BI Report Server's desktop version. Okay? That is something you need to go off and do.
I think it's also worth pointing out that it's September. There's an update. Just like they said there was going to be, on a very, very clear cadence, they're meeting their goals and they're meeting the expectations. The expectations on each service, they're going to bring everything in line or as much as possible in line with what's happening in the service. And that's exactly what this post is.
Alrighty. Well, I think then we're good with that. Let's go ahead and talk about our picks, John.
Sure.
And then it's time to get out.
All right.
I'm going to go first because I'm excited about mine.
Ooh.
I decided that this week I wanted to take a look in the admin section because I've been knocking the admin section for a while. Kai kind of ducked us at MBAS.
Yeah, we got to get back to him.
We're going to need to see if he's coming to Ignite and try and corner him into a good conversation. But the one that I picked this time is the ability to message all Power BI users from the Power BI service. Seems really logical. Wouldn't that be really nice? Some bannering system or something?
Yeah.
So what it says is if you run a Power BI platform, a lot of users, you should be able to send push notifications to them. We are currently experiencing high fail rates, and it would be great to alert all users that were busy looking into it.
That's a great idea.
Simple messaging. I think it's just really great. It currently has 60 votes.
61.
How about that? Telling you, I always like to hit that refresh button right when we're talking about it, see if you've done it right away. So get out there, folks, and vote for this one. This, again, is one of the admin administration section things. What about yours, John?
I've got a suggestion from Marco Russo, so that's immediately going to make you sit up and take notice.
Yeah.
It's one of the more highly voted on items. We want to be able to support the creation of calculation groups in Power BI Desktop. So I mentioned Power BI or calculation groups a little earlier with the SSAS. It's coming in 2019. Power BI is backed by SSAS. But if you're just using Power BI, Power BI Desktop, there's no interface to working on those calculation groups. You'd have to go off and build them in SSAS, connect to SSAS. That's not something we wanted. Now, with the XML endpoint, we will be able to do that using tools like SQL Management Studio, etc. But shouldn't we be able to do that in Power BI Desktop? And that's the essence of Marco's idea here. So I would strongly suggest that that we vote that one up. And it's got 1,581, I think.
1,582.
There you go. All right. Fantastic stuff. So yeah, let's get that up there.
All right, my friend. Sounds good. With that, more great stuff next week.
Yep.
Looking forward to having another chat. But for now, have a good day.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bifocal Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or via your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Twitter at Bifocal Show. The show notes for this and all of the Bifocal podcasts can be found on the Bifocal.show blog. The music for the Bifocal podcast is Indie Rock by Scott Holmes and is shared under Creative Commons.